Let's begin by hearing from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. The word of the Lord came to me. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, Sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you and speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, because I am with you, and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out His hand and touched my mouth. See, I have put my words in your mouth. I have appointed you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Culture, like an airport, is always moving in multiple directions. There is never a moment in our world, in our culture, or in the airport where there is not some activity going on. Oh, certainly, there are moments where life slows down. But as is true of an airport, the purpose of an airport is to keep everything moving all of the time. There are moments in our world where the world will seem like it has stopped spinning, but the truth is it has just slowed down. But it is, in fact, always moving. So, how do we navigate a world that's constantly moving and competing and often feels like colliding directions? I think the key is always knowing where we're supposed to be. It's knowing our place. It's knowing our purpose. So if you are in an airport and all this chaos is going on, you have to know where you are and you have to know where you're going. Because if you don't know where you're going, it's easy, like Home Alone, to get on the wrong flight and to end up going in a direction you never intended in going on. And before you can get off the plane and realize it's the wrong direction, it's too late. You understand I'm still in the metaphor of culture. There's all these competing directions. It's easy to get lost because we don't know our purpose for our life. We go in the wrong direction for a while, all in the search of purpose, and we don't realize it's the wrong direction until it's too late to come back and do it over again. So the key to navigating our culture in multiple directions is always knowing where we're at. It's knowing our place in culture. It's knowing where we belong. If I could try and depict what life is like in today's times, I would say that life is like living in an airport. When you're in an airport, you're always running from one place to the next place. From the gate that you got off on to the next gate that you have to get to. And understand something, when you're in an airport, you're not trying to keep up time. You're trying to make up time. If it takes 10 minutes to get there, you're trying to do it in 9. This is life, is it not? We're always going from one assignment, one purpose, one place, one event, one responsibility to the next. And we never have enough time to get there. So we're always in a hurry, not just to make it on time, but to arrive ahead of time and to make up time along the way. This means we never get to enjoy the place that we're at in life because we're always hurrying for pursuit of what comes next. That's good preaching. I'm just getting warmed up too, because it's true. life in the airport and life in culture are the same because life can be full of delays. Isn't it interesting? We hurry, 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 only to hurry up and wait. Because there are some situations that we don't have answers for. There are some problems that can't be resolved overnight. So we hurry up and we have to wait. And it is so frustrating to be at a place in life where we're delayed. This is why it's so important that we know our purpose. Because if we don't know our purpose while we're delayed, we'll get confused and distracted by a purpose that doesn't belong to us. So there's delays. There's cancellations on this road of life, is there not? Where we have hopes and plans and dreams only for doors to be slammed shut in front of us. Oh, there's baggage claim in life. Here's what I've noticed. You go to baggage claim, nobody's going to claim your bag, especially if they know what's inside. There's only one name on our responsibilities, and here's what I know about our responsibilities. Every responsibility we're given in life, we're always given it before we think we're ready. But nobody's going to take up the mantle of your responsibilities because it has your name on it, not mine. And I think in life, part of what's happening in our culture is that some of you come into this place carrying baggage that belongs to other people. Let me just say, it will kill you trying to carry other people's responsibilities. I would also say there are others who come into this place who haven't quite taken up the mantle of responsibility just yet. Oh, let me just say it. What you see in our culture is grandparents having to raise grandkids. Let me pause and say this. I am thankful. I admire. I respect greatly those who are able and willing to do it. Because what happens, there's multiple directions. This is not a judgment, but sometimes people get lost in the wrong direction. And so there has to be love and care until the direction can come back. Amen? But I also understand what some younger people, we are not always willing to take up our responsibilities. And I see it lessening and lessening with each generation that comes even after ours. All right, you may say that's a tangent, but I think it's relevant to where we're at. I also see in our day and age that there's not just having to claim responsibilities, but I also see there's distractions. So while we're on our way from one gate to the next, from one purpose to the next, we're bringing some baggage with us that is ours and maybe some other people's. And we bring it into every relationship and circumstance we come into. Pause right there. So every circumstance and relationship dealing with people, they're also bringing their own baggage sometimes. This is why we can't get along about anything. Let's just be reminded we all have baggage and we're all bringing it. So while we're on our way trying to accomplish our purpose in life, we have baggage and responsibilities. We're dealing with lost luggage, valuables in our life that have been lost. And then in the midst of all of this, we get distracted by just day-to-day stuff. The food court to our left. We get hungry in life, do we not? We got to stop and eat. And probably others in your household like to eat too. So we got to figure out how to eat. And then we walk past and we're trying to accomplish things and then we see the restroom. I'm learning you don't pass up a restroom. To get refreshed and relief. And by the time we do all of that, we're finally past our needs and we see the gift shops. You know, the overpriced items in the airport. We see some, and we get distracted by wants along the way. And so I think most of the time, life in the airport is spent distracted by all these things. But may I remind you of the purpose of the airport. We go to the airport not to get stuck in the airport, but to leave the airport. We go to the airport for one purpose. It's to hear a call. now boarding. See, it's easy to get caught up in all the baggage we come along, and the baggage can keep us from missing the call. It's easy for the losses and the responsibilities and the needs and the wants of our life to fill our lives that we do not hear the call. Now boarding. So the question that I have asked, if culture is the airport, what does that make the church? I think the church has been several things throughout the course of its history. The first that I would say is that the church has been the airplanes leaving the airport. So the early church, when Jesus was getting ready to die, he predicted that He would send His disciples out. And then after the resurrection, He tells His disciples, just as the Father has sent Me, now I am sending you. So the church, from the very beginning, has always been the airplane that has left the airport of one culture and gone to cultures where the name of Jesus has yet to be proclaimed. Now here's what's interesting. When Christians landed in these different communities, guess what was the center of the community? The church. It's why the church building was the place that school would be held. In fact, a lot of the education that's been founded around the world, you follow its roots back, it came out of the church of Jesus Christ. The church was the center of the community because the church founded hospitals. A lot of hospitals, think about it, St. Vincent's, used to be St. Mary's. It comes out of the root of the church, because the church was the airplane and the central part which all of the culture went through. By the way, the church was and used to be the welfare system, the social security system, the disability system. If there was a need among the widows or the orphans or the foreigner, guess where they went? There was no government aid. They went to the church. I think the church used to be the airplane. This is why every time the church has been persecuted, the gospel has thrived. Because persecution forces people to flee, and when we flee, we take the gospel with us as if seeds of the gospel are being scattered all everywhere that we go. But then something changed. As our communities rose up, the community didn't need us anymore. Governments were founded. Where welfare came to be, the foster care system came to be, non-for-profits gave rise, there become public schools, public hospitals. Hear me today. That's great. Because now, watch what it should allow the church to do. The church can move on to the next thing. See how we're helping lead the world to where they can help one another, and then we'll see the next problem and help solve it, and the world will come behind. See how that works? We need all of it. But what's happened is the church got lost and said, well, we used to be the airplane going to all these places and founding all these communities. Now what are we? I think we tried to become the air traffic controllers. You know, the people in the towers that tell the plane when it can take off and when it has to circle. Let me just say it the way it is. Then we tried to become the moral police of the land. We started saying what people could do and what they can't do, where they can go and where they can't go. In fact, a lot of the laws of the land were reflective of biblical values. The problem, of course, that has happened is that the laws we were trying to enforce were laws that we quit obeying. Case in point, this is one of the places I don't want you to get sidetracked. But I want to present some evidence. We will argue for the sanctity of marriage between one man and one woman. But when's the last time we've argued and gone to Scripture about the separation of that one man and one woman? It used to be that divorce was the dirty word in the church. Now, I understand things have happened, but what I'm saying is we just move from one hot topic to another. We grow lax on one thing and then try and police another. But they're still dealing with the sanctity of marriage. Okay, if that didn't make you mad, let me try this one. How about the sanctity of life before the birth of the child? I stand for the sanctity of life. I believe, and I believe the Bible will support on this, I believe in life at conception. So we give voice to the voiceless. But let me say something. Where we have failed is not standing for the sanctity of life before birth. We have failed to stand for the sanctity of life after birth. It still matters the color of your skin in this nation. It still matters because it determines sometimes where we live and what opportunities are afforded to us. I know we all have the same complexion in this place, so I'm all alone. What I'm saying is, we tried to become the dispatchers of moral police for morals that we as the church have failed to uphold, and culture didn't like it, and they kicked us out of that post too. All right, so where are we at, preacher? Culture's the airport. We were once the airplane. We were once the air traffic controllers. Now we're just lost somewhere in the airport. And here's how we feel. I feel like we are in a place where we look at our country, and for those of you who are older than me, you would say, this is not the country I grew up in. And you're grieving that you can't return to that country. And at the same time, there's those of us who remember part of it, but those younger than me don't remember it at all, and we're so used to things changing that it really doesn't bother us at all. But the problem is, we realize we don't have a country to go back to, and we don't have a culture that we're relevant for anymore. We're stuck in the airport. Do you feel it? Some of you feel it. Here's what I noticed. It's always in the exile of the airport, with no way forward and no way back, that God calls His people. May I remind us of the purpose of the airport. The purpose is not to be the airplane, though that's great. The purpose for us is not to be the moral police that controls traffic of culture, though that would be nice at times. Our purpose is still to hear the call of God, now boarding the plane of God's purpose. Here's what I've noticed. When God called Moses, He did it when His people were in the airport of slavery, not when they were ruling over Egypt. I noticed that when God called Joshua, He called him when His people were in an exile, watch this, an airport of blessing. In other words, they were outnumbered by all the cultures of the world, that they began to become like the world in pursuit of the blessing. So what did God do? God called Joshua and his people when they were far outnumbered by the world, when they had no place into the promised land of which they were headed. When God raises up the prophets like Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Amos, Jonah, He always does it before His people are going into an airport of exile. And one more, you ready for this? When God sent His one and only Son, Jesus, into the world, He did it not when Israel was in charge, but when Rome was in charge. Not when His people had a place in society, but when they were outcasts from society. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, God is calling us to board the plane of His purpose and His purpose alone. You see, I think all this time we've been pursuing purposes that are religious, but they are not God's. We've been pursuing agendas that are good and well, but they are not God's agenda. And we will never hear God in a land of blessing. We will only hear Him when we feel exiled and we don't have a place. And so God begins to call Jeremiah. When God calls Jeremiah, there's a few things that I notice. God calls according to His purpose. Before I formed you, I knew you. The idea here is that God knew in advance of Jeremiah's life what was going to happen. So He formed him in preparation for what He would be asking him to do. Oh, you're going to make me do all the work. You and I are not here by accident. God foreknew your life. You know how we say hindsight is 20/20? Let me tell you, God's foresight is 20/20. God can see into the future. So before He ever went to work on forming us, He played the highlight reel of our life. He knew everything we would go through, everything we would face, and then He made us accordingly. So that in the midst of all that we're dealing with, we could still be a tool in the potter's hands. Because He always creates us according to His purpose. God has a purpose for your life. And God has a purpose for mine. And there is never a day on this earth where we outgrow His purpose. The moment God stops having a purpose for us is the moment we're going to meet Jesus face to face. I believe that. So when God begins to call, He does it on purpose. You see, I think the day and age that we're in is that we need to be reminded of the purpose for which we are called. We can be so distracted by our responsibilities that we never hear the call of God's purpose. We can be so distracted by the baggage that we bring in and carry in our life, and boy, it gets heavy, that we miss the call of God. We get so overwhelmed by just meeting the needs of our life and the lives of others, and every now and then, hopefully on occasion, even the wants, that we miss the call of God to His purpose. When God calls, He calls according to His prerequisites. He says, not only did I form you according to the purpose, but then before you were born, I just went ahead and set you apart. In other words, you're special. And if something is special, we don't use it every day. We set it aside for special purposes only. Right? If we start using it every day, that which is uncommon becomes common and is special no more. So when God calls according to His purpose, the only way we can fulfill His purpose is if we live as if we were special. In other words, we are not engaged with what is common for the day and age in which we live. We live fundamentally uncommon lives. The way we deal with our finances is uncommon. The way we handle problems in our relationships, it will be uncommon. If we do not lead differently in our jobs than everybody else who's in similar positions, then I suspect we've missed the call of God, because we will lead uncommonly. We will show uncommon grace. We will show uncommon love. We will have an uncommon peace. Because we are a set-apart people. When God calls, He calls according to His position. Notice something. Then He says, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Watch this. God gave Jeremiah a purpose before He gave him a position. You see, the call of God is like a staircase. It happens one step at a time. I believe there's two things I want to say here to two different groups of people. And it's probably determined by age. When you're younger, you have a passion, you have a purpose, but you don't have a position in which you can express that passion and purpose. Here's what I know. Learn to be faithful with a few things, and God will entrust you with many things. It doesn't happen overnight, but what can happen is that we lose sight of our purpose because we don't feel like we have the position yet. Just hold on. God has an appointed time for us to be in that position. And sometimes we are being trained to handle the position in a different way. If you go back to Jeremiah 1, it's interesting. His father were priests. This means Jeremiah was being raised as a priest, not as a prophet. Maybe God wanted a prophet who had the bent of a priest. Purpose of a priest was to go and represent the people before God. The purpose of a prophet was to represent God before the people. You know, it's really easy to come in here and I could start listing all the things you don't do right. It's so easy to be God's spokesperson and just drill people for all they don't do wrong. You know what's hard to be sometimes? A priest. Because you realize, you know what? In compassion, I know what it is to be human. I know what it is to have the same shortcomings you have, and so together let's go before God. What I'm trying to say is that sometimes God will bring you a different way into your position by training you in a way that has a different sort of background than any other. I don't feel like I'm landing this point, and I want to. I have a friend who didn't get called into ministry until his mid to late 40s. You know what he did for all those years? He worked in government, working on plans and accounting and all sorts of things for projects. And I thought about him this week and I thought, why did he miss God's call as a teenager? And I thought, no. It was that God wanted a pastor who had a different sort of training than seminary can give. He got training in a worldly way that could help us reach people that I can't reach. Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't get distracted by the position that you're at right now, because God has the ability to use that for His purpose later on. You just can't see it now. God calls. Don't get distracted by the position you're in, because He's taking you someplace. When God calls, He calls according to His presence. I love this. The Lord reached out and touched His mouth. In other words, God never calls us to do something He hasn't equipped us to do. Here's what seems to be happening. Most of the things that we do in our life on a daily basis, we can do without the help of God's presence. If we can accomplish our life without God's presence, then we are not living under God's purpose. What part of our life can we not do if God doesn't show up? Let me just press. I've lost 3/4 of you anyway. That's not your fault, that's mine. What do we do as a church that we can't accomplish if God doesn't show up? And when God shows up, He makes all of the difference. You see, God's purpose will always push us further into His presence. The further we get into God's purpose, the harder it becomes and the more desperate we will be for God. So what I find myself doing these days, I feel like I'm working through these steps, and I find myself having to spend more time in prayer than ever before. And it doesn't make any sense, because I have more experience than I've had since before now, just like you. I have more education now than I had when I started. But I depended on all that other stuff. But the further you get into God's presence or God's purpose, you realize, I can't do any of this. My education, it's failed me at this point. It's got me here, but I can't get past this. Listen, if we aren't desperate for God's presence, it might be because we're not under God's purpose. Lastly, when God calls, He calls according to the problem. When we fulfill God's purpose for our life, we will eradicate problems in the world. The problem of Israel was that they weren't living for God. So Jeremiah was sent to tear them down so that something new could be born. By the way, he told Jeremiah, you're not going to succeed. Thanks, God. Because success under God's purpose is always obedience. We become successful by doing what God tells us to do, and rarely do we see the difference it makes. I want to introduce you in closing to to a guy by the name of Sir Alfred. I'm going to butcher the name, a.k.a. Mehran Karami Nasiri. He was an Iranian who lived in the Paris airport for 18 years. His story goes back to 1977 when he left Iran and went to London to study. After his studies, he went back to his homeland of Iran, and when he got there, he was in trouble with the Iranian government because he protested one of the Iranian groups while he was in college. And so they banished him from the country. And when you're banished from the country, you get no passport. You lose your citizenship. So for the next 4 years, he traveled around. He was looking for asylum from Iran, and he finally found it under the United Nations. And so he had these papers now documented, and he was traveling, and he decided he wanted to settle back in London. So he got on his train in Paris, and he was headed to London, but somewhere in the midst of all of this, his briefcase, which has his documentation, was stolen. So by the time he landed in London, London said, "You don't have any papers to enter the country. You've entered illegally." So they sent him back to Paris, France. Well, when he got to Paris, France, they said, "You don't have any papers, so we can't send you anywhere. You no longer belong to Iran, so you are just out of luck." For the next, this was 1981, for the next 18 years, he lived at Terminal 1 in the airport at Paris. In 1999, the New York Times reported the story, and they said that the week before that, his lawyer had worked, and he had been granted papers where he could now leave the airport. But in 1999, he refused to go. He was fearful of the world he had to go back to. He was afraid that the Iranian government would be after him. He was afraid that the United Nations wouldn't keep their word. So he stayed in that airport until 2006 when he was hospitalized. And then after he was hospitalized, they moved him to a shelter to stay. Now you and I think that story sounds crazy because we know of the freedom that comes when you leave the airport. What I'm trying to tell us today is that I think some of us feel like Christianity has been exiled. That we are exiled to the airport. And if we're not careful, what will happen in the church is we'll be so fearful of the world that we will just hunker down in Terminal 1 and we will never return to engage in it. We forget while we're in this season of our purpose. God will call us. And if we're not careful, we will miss the call. I suspect today that there's great fear in what God might call us to do. Listen, church, I'm getting real comfortable in Newburgh, Indiana. There's days that terrifies me. And I'm not planning on leaving anytime soon, so don't think that. But what I do know is that it's easy to get so caught up in life that God may be calling and I might be missing it. God might be calling you and you may be missing it. Some of you today may be in a position and the truth is you've lost sight of the purpose of that position. You're just holding out to retirement. That's not the call. I promise you, God will give you a purpose right where you're at. I think for some in this place, we're so committed to the way things used to be that it's hard to let go of that. But the call for us is the call to change and to find new ways to connect with this world. And I think at the same time, some have been born in the airport. All you know is change. And our temptation is to change with everything and be committed to nothing. I never fear of the church closing, but I fear of local churches closing. Because as generation comes, what I'm seeing, I pray it doesn't continue. is that there's less and less commitment to the church and more commitments to the ever-changing world. I don't know how you navigate all that. I just know that for some of us, we need to move away from commitment and say, okay, God, help me to change in a way that you're calling me to. But for others of us, we need to say, God, no, I'm going to hunker down and be committed to what you're calling me to. I feel like I stuffed all these words down inside of me and I just kind of regurgitated them out. So I hope that it's been better than that. I don't know God's purpose for your life, but what I do know is that we'll never know His purpose until we answer the call. If you're here today for the first time, maybe you want to answer the call for the first time. Maybe you have answered that call, but maybe the truth is you realize that God is calling you again, that you're not sure what the purpose is. I assure you, He will tell you. In fact, all throughout Jeremiah, there's a phrase, the word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord came. He will not leave you where you're at without a word.